just now goes by the nickname Minnesota Angry Man, and he's using his newfound fame to encourage others to stand up for community, too. Ahead of nationwide strikes and protests tomorrow, we asked Chris if he had any words of wisdom to share, and here's what he had to say.
We need some peace and harmony in our state and across our country. We've been dealing with enough tyranny. We're done with that. We need some peace, love, and harmony. Please come out. Please show up. Get off that couch. If I can do it, you can do it. We can march. We can dance. We can sing. We can hug it out. We can swear at the sky.
From the couch to the streets, what a rallying cry there.
But every time CBS shows up, it's total anarchy because that's what they want. They want to show that to the public. And that's another Fox News to me. It's just opinion-based bullshit, honestly.
At this point, Harrison, it's not even just a right-wing issue. You also have the left wing. It doesn't matter, you know, what side of the political aisle that you are on. If you go and try to film these people, they are criminals. They are committing criminal acts, and they do not like being filmed doing it. And that is why they have used violence for almost a decade at this point. No, it has been. It's been over a decade at this point. Since Donald Trump came down that golden escalator, this has been the scene, and it needs to stop.
Yeah, 100%. And of course, there's the guy right next to you. That's the William Kelly guy who actually should be in jail right now because of the terrorism he committed against the church. And so I saw Harmeet Dillon on X going, "We are on it." It's like you were supposed to be on it back then. You were supposed to be on it 6 months ago when these people committed federal crimes.
You can see all these pretend Christians, all these comfortable white people who are living lavish, comfortable lives while children are dragged into concentration camps.
This is not just about me. It's about all of us. It's about sending a strong message that this is a country of law and order, and we need to abide by basic law and order. We should not be a country that is okay with watching a 250-pound man slam a young woman to the ground.
I got to call out Turning Point USA. They have millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. And they sent her out there after they saw what happened to Jake Lang when he was in Minneapolis and what they've seen happen to others. They sent her out there with no protection at all. It's inexcusable. So, that's why this is so frustrating. I said, okay, if they're not going to protect her, then we will. Like, you know, Enrique Charo and I were just in the streets in Dallas protecting Alex Stein during the No Kings protest. He asked last minute for protective detail, and we did it. And we kept him from getting assaulted. So we will do the same for her.
Since Charlie Kirk's assassination, this is now the third time that people have come up to me after I have not been interviewing, not been engaging, but simply being on the street and filming a protest, figured out I work for Turning Point USA, and have made a point to confront me, to threaten me, to harass me, and now brutally assault me to prove a point. So that's why this escalated, Laura. I wasn't interviewing anybody. I wasn't engaging with anybody. I was, and I apologize. This is the first time I'm talking about this assault, yep. And I...
Hey, everybody. This is Emma's angry daughter, also known as Pedro Strusko. And I was the girl that literally just got f***ing assaulted by a f***ing piece of s*** Turning Point bitch.
Don't write up.
Where's the
whistle? It's in the car. Just the whistle right there. Right in her ear.
Whistle in her ear.
People are doing it back here. Right in her ear.
So again, you just have this crowd, this mob surrounding Savannah there. They don't realize they're in front of a camera that's streaming as they are literally plotting their attack right there. So that's pre-planning. You know, that means you can't say, oh, this is the heat of the moment or whatever you'd want to argue in court. This is pre-planning.
Oh, did you tackle her?
So I want justice to be served, and I hope and pray that every federal agency involved is able to bring forward charges and that there is follow through on this.
I'm not just go, though. We're trying to help you. Get you out of here.
Trying to leave. Let's go.
Let's get you out of here.
Let's go.
coming up in just the next month or so. It looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Alex Jones Show for Sunday, the 19th of April, 2026. I'm Harrison Smith, sitting in today for Alex Jones. He's supposed to be in. Something came up. He's not able to make it today, but fear not. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to cheat just a little bit since it was kind of a last minute call into the studio. It's still going to be the Alex Jones Show. I'm still going to go to some Alex Jones videos that he's posted over the weekend. I think he did the best breakdown I've ever seen of the Iran war up to this point. I really think it's a masterclass in a short time, something you can send to your Trump supporting friends. Just give them an idea of our position, that we're not rabid anti-Trumpers now. We're not completely turned on everything we believe. It's actually the exact opposite. We still believe what we've always believed, and we're expressing the appropriate amount of outrage and frustration at the fact that the Trump administration, that once seemed to believe the same stuff as us, has really gone completely off the rails, and it is just kind of sad. So I'm going to go to some videos from Alex about that, but we have a ton of stuff to cover. It's not just going to be the Iran war. Today, we've got aliens and ancient demons and AI gods and just all sorts of horrible things coming down the pipe. So we will get to all of it in this 2 hours. Brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today to get ultramethylene red, the rapid absorption liquid nootropic built to fire up your brain and body with bioavailable nutrients your system can actually use. And of course, we need your support now more than ever as we undergo our legendary metamorphosis. But let's start here with clip 25, I believe. Yeah, clip 25, because this is the breakdown. It's a little shorter. I'll go to another video from Alex after this, a little more up to date. He posted this yesterday saying for the 28th time in 45 days. Well, let me just preface it by saying this. If you were watching The Alex Jones Show on Friday, you know that minutes before the show started, there was this news of a ceasefire. And when I read out the conditions of the ceasefire, I believe my exact response was, maybe. I think it was something along the lines of like, we'll see. We'll see about that. I don't know about this, actually. I think every time I used the term ceasefire, I was like, the ceasefire, if it even exists, because I don't even know if it exists. But essentially, and we've got the tweets here from Friday, where Donald Trump made a couple statements about what the ceasefire entailed and what the peace would require. And really focused on three main things. He mentioned three things having to do with the ceasefire. They were getting the nuclear dust from Iran, getting the enriched uranium, not attacking Lebanon. Israel would not attack Lebanon, he promised. And of course, in all caps, the Strait of Hormuz is completely open and ready for business and full passage, et cetera, et cetera. So none of these three promises made it through the day. None of them made it. It may be to dinner. They may have made it to dinner time. They certainly did not make it to bedtime. So again, this is just where we are. I don't want my first instinct when I hear a ceasefire. I wish we lived in a world where Trump comes out and goes, we did it. We got a ceasefire. And I go, oh my gosh, thank goodness. It's wonderful. He did it. Let's celebrate. But then I'd look like a fool, wouldn't I? Then I'd look like all these other fools out there that fell for it. And I can't do that to you. Even if it's what I want to be the case, the reality is I didn't buy it for a second. and for very good reason. So I wish that wasn't the case. I wish I could just trust this stuff blindly, but I have the ability to recognize patterns and alter my interpretation of future events on the basis of that, of the interpretation of the patterns that I've recognized. It's a superpower, I guess, at this point, because it seems to be lacking in most normal people. So that's setting the stage here for what Alex is about to talk about. The fact that Donald Trump on Friday came out announcing a ceasefire with three particular conditions, none of which lasted through the day. None of them made it to midnight on Friday. Let's go to clip number 25. This is Alex Jones putting out a video that I think is the best summation of the Iran war up to this point that I've seen on the internet so far. Share this with your friends, folks. Here's Alex Jones.
It's Saturday, April 18th, 2026. All hell is breaking loose. Iran is now attacking major oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz. Israel broke the ceasefire yesterday and is bombing thousands of civilian homes in Lebanon and shelling them, despite Trump saying he'd ordered Israel to stop. I'm about to break it all down right now. But it's very important to understand that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, the intelligence agencies, told Trump before March 1st, Israel was lying to him about Iran about to strike us and that they would fall in 4 days and that regime change was certain. That's all come out. That's all been documented. And then those of us that are loyal to reality and loyal to what Trump run on, we're all called traitors. We're all told we're not MAGA. No, it's Trump that's not MAGA anymore. And I said if he keeps saying he'll destroy an entire civilization one day, wipe out an entire people, that's the definition of genocide, he'd have to be 25th Amendmented. All the Israeli first spokesperson were saying we need to use nuclear weapons. Trump would say, tune into Levin. He knows what I'm about to do. Levin saying, use nuclear weapons like we did on Japan. That was insane. And I said, if he continued, he'd be 25th Amendment. And then he's now said 28 times, you can look it up, that the war's been won and that Iran's given up. He said yesterday Iran was giving up their uranium, their weapons, everything that we totally won. But Israel had to not attack them anymore. And then Israel attacked. And now Iran's doubled down, is actually attacking ships, not just threatening to attack ships. And I see the comments all over my X feed and everywhere. Oh, Jones, you're a loser. The straits open again. We won the war. See, it's all great. It's all wonderful. Totally delusional. Totally insane. Do you understand it's on record that the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Pentagon, and the 16 intelligence agencies told Trump that it was a horrible idea to attack Iran and laid out the scenarios we're now witnessing? That's what I studied. That's what I know. And now we're told we need ground troops, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. I also see the claims out there, and this isn't about me, but to understand the problem, that, oh, Jones and others are mad they didn't have access to Trump, and you know they're mad that they criticized Trump, and now he kicked them off the Trump train. We're off the Trump train because he got off what he stood for before. Let's just be clear. I want to be at your cool kids table. I want to be far away from this stuff, but I want to put pressure on the administration to be sane, and I want the American people to do that. Because that's what we're dealing with here, is a Trump going against everything he stood for. No prosecutions of the deep state, putting a Democrat lawyer in as the head of the DOJ, worse than even Bill Barr and Jeff Sessions, killing the removal of glyphosate, on and on and on. He did something good with Joe Rogan, you know, today, so they can use hallucinogens in medical areas to get people off drugs and also for PTSD. Joe's pushed that for years, so wow, that's a great idea. I still want Trump to do good. I still support him when he does good on policies and good cabinet members. But by sitting back and being a cult member and just saying yes, yes, yes to the neocons, we allow them to fully take control of Trump. There's a battle over this right now. And we're going to lose the midterms. His poll numbers are plunging. That affects the Republicans. These are facts, ladies and gentlemen. This is the reality. And you cannot ignore the fact that the strait is closed. You cannot ignore the fact that Israel breaks the ceasefires. You cannot ignore that we are almost 2 months into all of this. And it's just getting worse by the day. And I see people say, you attacked him, so then he attacked you. And it's all about, oh, you wouldn't have been attacked if you didn't attack him. I don't give a shit about being cool. I was invited to Mar-a-Lago multiple times last year, years before that. I was invited to the White House by Trump and just didn't follow up on it because I don't want to be around the whole political system. It doesn't do anything to go talk to Trump. He does whatever he wants, but he does see public pressure. And that has an effect on Congress. We pressure on it. So this is not junior high. I don't want to be the class president or something like all you weird remaining weirdo new MAGA people are. I'm not with all the neocons that were never Trumpers. I'm not for all these wars. I'm not for all these changes in Trump. And I see him constantly be made a fool of by Israel, saying the war is won, saying that the Strait of Hormuz is open, saying everything's great when it's not. These are facts. You can go to my X feed. It's just, the Strait's open. You're a fool. We won the war. See, you're an idiot. And every week Trump says this. And Iran is up against a wall, but it has that choke point. So this is a long, protracted war, already starting to kill the global economy, killing our recovery. The economists are clear. It will boost inflation. It'll raise interest rates. And then his recovery plan is dead. And then we go bankrupt, and BlackRock and the globalists are happy. They used COVID last time to derail Trump's plan, and now they've done this. And I said it'd probably be a war that would do it, like Iran. I want the old Trump back. I want to succeed. I want to beat the globalist. I've been persecuted by the Democrats, but I can't sit here and be immoral and support this type of garbage. That's the facts. Respond to the facts. Trump is literally killing MAGA in live time and attacking the only people that were ever loyal to the original message that we got on board to support. Thank you. Please follow me on X at Real Alex Jones on Rumble at the Alex Jones Show. God bless you all. Big updates and big announcements coming in the next few days on the future of InfoWars. Thank you so much.
Yes, folks, big announcements coming for the future of InfoWars. That was Alex Jones. You can find that on his X at Real Alex Jones. Make sure you're following us. Again, I can only tell you so many times. Eventually, InfoWars will not be here. And if you haven't already followed our accounts, and you don't have to make an X account to do it, just, you know, bookmark the accounts or something, just because that's where the announcement will be made. That's how you can find anything up to date from us is on X at AJN Live, at Real Alex Jones. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. At InfoWars, you should follow that anyway, but it may not be very much longer that we're posting under that account. But regardless, follow it, share the links, and make sure that you're informed for whatever comes next. So again, I just thought that was a brilliant, sort of off-the-cuff, thorough breakdown of how we got to this point and how bad it's been. Now, I'll show you a video from Catherine Austin Fitz later, this segment where she gets into sort of the only options are, this is obviously on purpose. They're creating COVID 2.0, lock down the world for the sake of implementing a new world order crisis, or it's incompetence at a level that doesn't really make sense, right? The classic phrase is never attribute to malice what can be explained by incompetence. I say there's a level of incompetence that rises to malice. They're indistinguishable at a certain point. But I'll show that in just a little bit. Let's go now to Alex Jones once again. Trump says that if Iran doesn't take, I guess, a new deal, I don't know. It's kind of confusing because I'm not even sure there was a deal last Friday. Everything Trump said about it, it wasn't actually true. But I guess you could say that's a deal. Now Trump over the weekend has given a statement where he's like, maybe I'll extend the ceasefire. Maybe I won't. We don't know. It's all kind of nonsense. I'm not even sure what deal we're talking about here, except I believe the latest is that Trump has issued another major threat to target all of Iran's power plants and bridges if they don't once again accept the deal. It's a little confusing because it's deliberate chaos designed to mask the real intentions of the people involved. Let's go to clip number three now.
Well, Trump continues to insanely flip-flop. 28 times he said since this war started that Israel drug us into, that we've won the war and it's over. More than 10 times he says that Iran has unconditionally surrendered. He said on Friday they agreed to all of his demands and had totally opened the Strait of Hormuz, and of course they hadn't. And now he's reissued the threats to blow up all their bridges and civilian infrastructure. But Israel and the U.S. are already doing that, hitting hospitals, bridges, universities, everything else. This is just beyond insane. And he was drug into it by Israel. The Pentagon told him don't do it. And now Trump hates everybody that was right and warned him about this total disaster that he ran on not ever doing the Iran war. It's just amazing. And no prosecutions of all the deep state, but the top Democrat lawyer, Todd Blanchett at DOJ, on and on and on and on. And we're supposed to just sit here and love this crap. It's just poll numbers go straight down, and all the polls show the Republicans are going to lose the midterms in 7 months by a landslide. A disaster. A total and complete disaster. Trump is not that stupid. He's made some deal with the deep state to throw the election to the Democrats. That's the only thing this can be. And then everybody keeps calling me and asking me, Alex, what did Trump fire you from? They take it as literal. Last Friday, 2 days ago, he said, you're fired, Jones. like it's The Apprentice. I don't work for Trump. I did want to be on his Trump train. I'm 1776. MAGA just rode in on that. I'm for making America great again, but how about free again? How about honest again? How about not evil again? And so when he does this you're fired stuff, it's just junior high crap. Oh, you're not in the cool club anymore. It's absolutely idiotic. I don't want to be in the neocon club with all your former enemies that were never Trumpers and said, screw you, Lindsey Graham, and all the rest of them, and Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin. I mean, it's just insane. It's totally insane to watch all this happen. And now he just put out the Truth Social, basically a carbon copy. No more Mr. Nice Guy. I'm going to blow up all your bridges and all your power plants. I'm going to huff and puff and blow down your house, Three Little Pigs, if you don't do what I say. And the Strait of Hormuz is still closed. It just goes on and on and on, just stunt after stunt, because he got trapped into a losing situation, a war of attrition. I'll be on the air today, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern, Infowars.com/show, right here on X at Real Alex Jones. Also follow us on the AJN Network at AJN Live and Rumble at The Alex Jones Show. Huge news breaking and a lot more today, 4 p.m. God bless you all.
All right, folks. So again, you know, it's been this way since the beginning of the Iran war. It's been this constant shifting of goalposts, shifting of victory conditions, declaring victory when we haven't achieved it, claiming that Iran is agreeing to something that they later come out and say, we have no idea what he's talking about. It's been this sort of continual loop that we've been on. It's completely exhausting. Here's the latest. This was a top LinkedIn Drudge from Wall Street Journal. Behind Trump's public bravado about the war, he grapples with his own fears. And this is about the airman recovery, supposed airman recovery, that I still have some major questions about. But supposedly, Trump was essentially kept out of the Situation Room for this because they're afraid that he would do something erratic and mess up the rescue. It's a very interesting story, but again, it's about the fact that Trump is not in total control and doesn't know exactly what he's doing and is flailing and floundering. Trump issues chilling new warning to Iran. This is the latest. The whole country will get blown up. But I think it's funnier if you say blowed. Donald Trump has launched a furious attack against Iran. He's issued a stark threat, warning the country will be blown up if they fail to agree to a new deal. Quote, if they don't sign this deal, the whole country is getting blown up, he told Fox News. The U.S. president added in a furious post on Truth Social that bridges and power plants will be targeted if Iran does not sign this agreement. He launched the outburst after Iran quickly reversed its decision to reopen the Strait of Hormuz with shots fired at vessels passing through the vital route. He raged, Iran decided to fire bullets yesterday in the Strait of Hormuz, a total violation of our ceasefire agreement that had already been violated by Israel bombing Lebanon. But that's beside the point. Many of them were aimed at a French ship and a freighter from the United Kingdom. That wasn't nice, was it? My representatives are going to Islamabad, Pakistan. They'll be there tomorrow evening for negotiations, which will be interesting to see if the Iranians show up, because they're saying they're not interested in negotiations because, as we've been reporting for a while, they are the ones with, in nautical terms, the weather gauge, right? They're the ones in control of deciding when and how the conflict restarts or ends. They are the ones in control of this. They just are, whether you like it or not. It's not America that is, you know, saying, oh, you want talks? We'll see. We're going to soften you up for a little while. We'll do talks eventually. Don't worry about it. Or you want to do talks? Let's start with, you know, total surrender first, and then we'll go from there. And that's not what's happening. What's happening is America's apparently making deals that just don't exist and then saying they want to negotiate and saying we're going to be in Islamabad to negotiate, and Iran's like, have fun, we're not going, we're not going to be there. So that's just the situation as it exists. Don't kill the messenger. Quote, we'll knock out every power plant and bridge in Iran if no deal is made. Which is so funny, because he's like, they fired bullets at our ships, that wasn't very nice. Then literally says, quote, no more Mr. Nice Guy, I'm just going to kill everybody in the country. Great, that threat again. I'm sure I'll actually do it this time. For Iran, flexing control over waterway is new deterrent. The United States and Israel has launched their war against Iran on the argument that if Iran one day got a nuclear weapon, it would have the ultimate deterrent against future attacks. It turns out that Iran already has a deterrent, its own geography. Iran's decision to flex its control over shipping through the Strait of Hormuz, the strategic choke point, through which 20% of the world's oil supply flows, has brought the global economic pain in the form of higher prices for gasoline, fertilizer, and other staples. It has upended war planning for the United States and Israel, where officials have had to devise military options to wrest the strait from Iranian control. And actually, maybe we'll go to a video. It's a longer one, but friend of the show, regular guest Brandon Weikert was on with Steve Bannon and was talking about the fact that what's happening in the Strait of Hormuz is making a lot of our Asian partners very nervous about the very straits that we talked about last week, Strait of Malacca, I think it's called. And essentially, they're terrified, like, if Iran gets away with this, we're screwed, because that's what they're going to do to these straits here. So they're almost pressuring, they're almost certainly pressuring Trump to do something militarily to set an example, to say you're not allowed to take over and eliminate straits like this. And this all goes to the established world order that was created in the 1950s with Bretton Woods. I want to go to a Catherine Austin Fitz video. The whole thing's 8 minutes, so we're only going to get to like less than half of it here. But just to give you a taste and to give you a sample of what this video contains, and you can go, you know, watch it yourself. But she's making a good point, and I think you'll understand her overall point here with whether this is incompetence or malice. Very uncertain times are coming, and this is totally in the favor of the New World Order and their drive to enslave humanity. Here's Catherine Austin Fitz.
Everything this administration is doing to build a control grid, and from the moment they got into office in January 2025, they've been operating at high speed to build the whole thing, and we can talk about what that looks like. But the other one is called, was Jeffrey Epstein the father of programmable money? And I would recommend reading it. It points you to a Substack that is the best thing I've ever read on Epstein after Whitney Webb's books. And what it describes is how the Rothschild Syndicate works. And which is basically the Epstein was part of that syndicate, if you want to call it. And that's very much equity in and around the central banks. So it does a very good job of sort of describing the syndicate. And if you look at this administration is very much run by that syndicate. And whatever is going on in the Middle East is very much what that syndicate wants. And so the question is, what is really going on? And what I will tell you is, the official explanations, as usual, are baffling. And what I can't tell is whether the goal is intentionally to shut down the straits, or we're looking at the most remarkable act of incompetence on the part of the U.S. that I could possibly imagine. So, you know, I never want to underestimate the possibility of incompetence, but usually incompetence is an air cover, you know, it's a story. So let's look at what's happening. And let's go back to Gaza for a second. For 2.5 years, what we've heard is that a group of people who are under complete sanction in the financial system can still, you know, Hamas can still field weapons and armies, and an empire that can slant drill oil and gas and mining, you know, miles underground, can't deal with tunnels under Gaza. Okay. Makes absolutely no sense, because if you understand what it takes to transact, buy weapons, ship in weapons, do all of that.
And of course, we know they're allowed to do that because Netanyahu is on tape admitting to sending them pallets of cash worth $35 million every month for years. So, yeah, they were permitted to do the violent attack, to get the casus belli, to launch the attack with the intention of having that series of dominoes fall, leading to the overthrow of Iran. It's all been planned out long ago. We have the chance now to stop it. We just have to be aware of it and fight it. That's it.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites
for decades with great sponsors because they really work, and we'll tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis, but not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research. And then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Enter Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bolivine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite Detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time, so all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs, cancel any time, $30 a month, get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier it would. I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
He's cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, things are ever increasing in intensity when it comes to Iran. Some more leaks are coming out about the turmoil and chaos inside the Trump administration as it struggles to deal with this problem it created for itself by launching the Iran war in the most ill-opportune time when we need to be focusing entirely on fulfilling the domestic agenda so that we aren't blown out of the water come midterms, if they even happen. And there's some question about that. And of course, one of the big takeaways is Joe Kent was right the entire time that the whole problem with the Iran war that led to the Iran war is the fact that America refuses to or is incapable of, and these are kind of two sides of the same coin, restrain Israel. They're incapable or they refuse to restrain Israel in any way whatsoever. In fact, the hallmark of the Trump administration has been systematically removing any restrictions that were on Israel in the first place. One of the first things he did in office was allowing Israel to get the really big ammo again, I guess. And so for the first time, maybe ever, certainly with any, you know, teeth and consequence to our failure in this case, Trump seems to actually be trying to restrain Israel. Now, again, before he has made statements that were very strident and very absolute. Things like where he said they are not annexing the West Bank, there are going to be no more settlements, enough is enough. He said that without any reservation or hesitation or caveats or qualifiers. And yet, immediately after him saying that, Israel launched a gigantic wave of terror attacks in the West Bank that continues to this day. Total abject disrespect and disobedience to the American president. Then, of course, we have the ceasefire with Iran. And again, I'm like, I like get dizzy thinking about this because like, did we not already go through this? Like the latest headlines are that Trump has issued a threat to Iran that he's going to blow up their entire, like this was last Sunday. We did this already. We went through this already. We've kind of gone through it multiple times. Like Alex says in his video that Trump's declared victory 28 times. And so funny, because then Trump posts the video of him at a rally during the campaign going, you're going to get tired of winning. It's like, well, yeah, no, we want to win a war once, not over and over and over again. We don't want to have to win a war every day for the rest of our lives. That's not actually winning a war. That's just being lied to. At that point, we're just being lied to. We are sick of winning. We'd like to win. Okay. Very odd that he would post that when clearly it doesn't exist. So I'm like getting lost even in these timelines where it's like, okay, he said he was going to blow up the whole country on that Easter post. And it was supposed to happen that Tuesday, but then he said, actually, we got an agreement. We're going to hold off. But the agreement was contingent on Lebanon not being bombed by Israel, but Israel just like kept bombing Lebanon. So now here we are on Sunday again. And once again, he's made a threat to destroy all of Iran. It's just, this is like exhausting and infuriating and ridiculous. And obviously a sign of a unique and powerful combination of malice and incompetence. So here's the latest from Infowars.com. Trump turns screws on Israel in biggest pressure move to rein in Bibi yet. But I asked on Friday, I said, what is he going to do? When Israel ignores him and bombs Lebanon, is he going to go to war with Israel? Is he going to cut Israel off? Is he going to say, you know what, Israel, this is a straw that broke the camel's back. We're actually going to be friends with Iran now? Of course not. He has no leverage. Nothing that he's willing to bring to bear, at least. So why does he even make these demands? He makes a demand that he knows Israel's not going to follow, that he has no ability to hold them to account for. It's almost entirely for public consumption and artificially boosting the stock market. That's my only, it's the only thing I can understand, because why would you humiliate yourself over and over again in this way unless you're into it? The Lebanon ceasefire appears to be legitimate and holding. Well, this was written yesterday, so yeah, not really so much. Lebanese citizens themselves are pouring back into the war-ravaged south of the country, seeking to recover their homes, which are in some cases unlivable. Thousands of families displaced by weeks of fighting filled the main highway to southern Lebanon on Friday in hopes of returning to their homes as a 10-day ceasefire in Israel's military campaign against Hezbollah went into effect. But see, Israel still wants to fight Hezbollah, and Hezbollah is saying this agreement has kind of nothing to do with us. That's an agreement, I guess, with the American government and the Israeli government and the Iranian government. Doesn't even include the Lebanese government, but any agreement that we do make, that Lebanon makes between Israel and Lebanon, it's not really going to have to do with Hezbollah because they're not a part of the negotiations, except in that they are a part of the government, as they have, you know, Hezbollah as a political party in Lebanon as well. So I actually want to go to a video of a member of parliament for the Hezbollah party And actually, I'm actually not going to show you too much of him. It's actually the person asking him the question from Dropsite News that lays out a bunch of the really interesting information. Then he responds, and I'll sort of give you the summation of his response since he's a little hard to understand. But let's go to clip number 15 here. This is Dropsite News talking about Israel's plans with Lebanon and how the existence of Hezbollah makes these plans nonsensical. Let's watch.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it seems clear also that part of this is Netanyahu, I'm sure, would be quite pleased if there was a civil war in Lebanon. But the demands that were put forward by the United States, and it's also been backed by some European powers in a quite public way, is that the Lebanese government should have the monopoly on the use of force and the possession of weapons within Lebanon. And when the Israelis came out of those meetings earlier this week in Washington, D.C., they said that that was the primary agenda. Of course, the Lebanese officials sort of tried to circumvent discussing that, but that was in the statement by the United States, and the Israelis emphasized that. And there are reports that Israel is pitching or proposing a plan that may or may not have been developed by Ron Dermer, who is one of Netanyahu's closest allies, to essentially try to create in southern Lebanon the type of structure that exists in the occupied West Bank, where you divide it into three sections. One, which would be a quote-unquote buffer zone, where the Israelis occupy territory inside of Lebanon. Another, where the Israelis would then be doing the quote-unquote disarmament of Hezbollah. And then a third, where Lebanese forces would then be responsible for disarming Hezbollah. If you have the Lebanese government essentially agreeing to foreign demands that Hezbollah be targeted by a coalition of a U.S.-backed Lebanese armed force, Israeli forces, how does Hezbollah respond to this? If this is what happens and they go forward with this, and this is the internationally recognized government of Lebanon, what can Hezbollah do to say, no, we won't participate in this and we won't disarm? How does this play out in your view?
Well, first, let me tell you one simple thing. No one can disagree that the official authorities, they have to have monopoly of arms. This is one of the definitions of a state. But one of the important raison d'etre of any state is to defend and protect its people. This is what the army should be. This is their normal, this is their duty job, actually. What happened in Lebanon? Lebanon at any time has never had an army that is equipped enough or that has the political decision by the leaders or the officials to defend or protect Lebanon. This happened this time as well when the Lebanese authorities have issued like orders to the Lebanese army to withdraw its positions, and the villagers, the people of the villages in southern Lebanon, Christians, Muslims, they were begging the army to stay. Our soldiers, the Lebanese army, the Lebanese officers, and the head of the army as well, the leader of the army, he told them, I have so many different scenarios that I can do to defend or to protect. But the officials, they ordered the army not to fight back, not to protect, not to defend.
All right, so you hear what he's saying there, basically saying the Lebanese army refuses to fight Israel, refuses to protect its own people against Israel, finds that it's more convenient or, you know, for whatever reason, for their own survival perhaps, to sort of give in to Israel wherever possible, try to make a deal. Look, you want to take this land? Okay, we'll let you, but in exchange, can we get an agreement here? But essentially, they're trying to turn Lebanon into the next Gaza. They're trying to treat it exactly like Gaza. It is land that has been promised to them. There are these strangers living on it, and they have to leave. And if they don't want to leave, they'll be killed. And even if they do leave, they'll probably be killed because it's not going to end at Lebanon, because that's how they feel about the entire Middle East, and they're doing it in stages. So now we're at the Lebanese stage. We've passed the Gaza stage. We're basically finishing up the West Bank stage. They want Lebanon to be ruled in the same way that the West Bank is ruled, to have these different sections, three different sections, the buffer zone, the Israeli zone, and then the Lebanese zone. And they want those Israeli buffer zones to increase incrementally until Lebanon doesn't exist anymore. The problem with that is that they're not dealing with the Lebanese army when they go into Lebanon. They're dealing with a homegrown militia. And that's what Hezbollah is. Again, I've explained this a million times, but that is the best way to understand it. It is a militia. It is a volunteer force of regular citizens. They are not voted on. They are not elected. They simply defend their land without permission from anybody because they're extremely well armed. And that's a lesson I think should be important for all of us. It's kind of the American dream in a lot of ways. If you really think about it, Hezbollah is kind of the American dream. If you really think about it a lot, a well-armed populace who can't be taken over by outside forces who defend their homeland against any aggression, even from their own government. It's kind of proto-American, like it's kind of deeply American, actually, if you really think about it. That should be a headline just to confuse the people that don't understand what's actually happening and what these forces really are. Because a lot of people are convinced that Hezbollah is just straight up, I don't even know, the bad guys from Ninja Turtles. Who are they? The Foot Clan? They're not the Foot Clan. It's not just crazy terrorists just like being insane all the time. It's a militia. So I'd like to see their face when they read a headline that says Hezbollah is really an embodiment of the American dream. Because in a lot of ways it is. Not everybody's ready to hear that yet. And I hope you can understand what I mean when I say that. And by the way, they're already turning Lebanon into Gaza. This isn't even a future sort of prediction I'm talking about here. Let's go to clip number 77. This is what remains of the city of Bint Jabil in South Lebanon. And it's indistinguishable from Gaza. Let's roll the tape. So here it is, just utterly and completely and totally destroyed, every building leveled, every tree uprooted, not a patch of unscarred earth. These are supposed to be the good guys. Or we're supposed to believe that this was all Hezbollah? It's an entire village. So like, this is just what they're going to do. And what do you think is going to stop them? Do you think eventually they're just going to get tired? Do you think they're going to just get tuckered out? And think, you know, we've killed enough people. Let's stop already. You know, people keep telling us to stop. What if we just do it? What if we just give it to them? It's what they want. Let's go to clip 10 here. Here's another shot of Bait Jabail from a different drone when he plays B-roll. And it's just a lot more of the same. Just absolutely, completely, and totally devastated. Just visions of hell. Lifeless, desolate. Courtesy of our greatest ally, the Jewish state of Israel. The loving embrace of the Torah faithful. Thank you for your blessings, truly a light unto the masses, unto the nations, right? That's what's supposed to, what we're supposed to think. That's what we keep being told. It's ridiculous. And of course, on top of all of this is the fact that Lebanon is a third Christian, and that a lot of the sites that they're bombing are sacred Christian sites. And in fact, there's been a bit of a PR nightmare for Israel, in that Israeli soldiers were caught smashing a statue of Jesus with a giant sledgehammer. Go to clip number 9 here to see the actual statue smashed, but the image of the smashing has gone viral on X, and even the IDF has been forced to respond, saying this is not what we believe in, this is not what we do. Oh, this is a different statue. Oh, sorry, I forgot. It's happened a bunch that there are these humble little Christian villages in Lebanon that have been Christian since the time that Jesus's close personal friends converted them 2,000 years ago. But they have to be destroyed and utterly eliminated because they stand in the way of the glorious march of triumph of the Zionist state. The manifest destiny of the Zionists will tread over anybody that stands in their way. Almost, it's like I was going to say, including Christians, but it seems more like especially Christians, the more you actually look at it. And I actually have a video. I think, obviously, I didn't have time to translate it today. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. There's the picture. And there's the IDF soldier with a sledgehammer slamming Jesus in the face, right? So every time they bomb a church, it's like, well, but it was an accident. And, oh, well, maybe they were hiding somebody. But no, they'll go out of their way to deliberately destroy the symbols of Christianity because they hate it. It's not that complicated. Again, there's this weird false dichotomy that gets promoted that is really trying to convince people that it's the West, which is Judeo-Christian, versus Islamo-communism. And that's the false dichotomy, especially when it comes to the religions. It is not Christianity and Judaism versus Islam. That's ridiculous. And likewise, I'm not at all in favor of the Christian-Muslim alliance. I think that is a complete act of retardation and a bite of a poison apple if I've ever heard of one. No, It's not a false, it's not a dichotomy at all. It's a triad. It's rock, paper, scissors. Nobody says that rock, you know, is friends with paper because they both fight scissors. It's okay. We don't have to be friends with either one of these groups. They're not friends with us. It's fine. It's fine to be that way. And it's fine to also recognize and respect that they have the freedom of religion here and can believe whatever they want. But when it comes to acting on behalf of groups of people, they're acting for their own group. They're not acting for any other group. They'll act like that. They'll say that they are to get you to go along with them, but that's just one of the tools in their toolkit that you have to defend against. It's really not that complicated. But when you see an IDF soldier smashing a statue of Jesus with a giant sledgehammer, statue of Jesus, by the way, with blonde hair and white skin in Lebanon, the place where he walked and administered some of his first miracles. You understand the villages that they're bombing are like the villages from the stories you heard growing up, where Jesus went to a wedding and created the fish and the wine. Like, that's where Israel is bombing right now. That's those places right there. It's those hills. And it's sick that we are in any way privy or party to this, rather. We can go to clip 52 here, because again, I think it's just important to show who these people are, because you get such a bizarre, warped view when people talk about people from the Middle East. And we've showed videos of Iran that look straight up like they're Brooklyn, New York. You cannot tell a difference until I tell you, hey, by the way, this is Tehran, Iran that we're watching. You have no idea. Here's a woman in Lebanon returning to their southern Lebanon home to find that they've been completely destroyed by the terrorist army. And I just, yeah, it's been completely destroyed and broken down. And I'm not sure if it's this video or another one, but there's another one where you can see the girl walking up to her house, and she looks like somebody that I would be friends with in high school. Yeah, here it is. And it's like, she's not in a veil. She's not dressed head to toe in black. These are Christians. These are Christian people with Christian morality. They're not extremist on either side, and they're innocent, and they're not engaged in warfare or terrorism on either side. They are just victims of terror bombing by Israel because they want the land. It's as simple as that. And you really don't need to break it down anymore. Like, that's it. That's the answer. Now, we don't have time to go to the whole thing, but I do want to go to clip 48 here, because Joe Kent, bless his soul, he should be on a victory lap right now. He should be going around saying, I told you so. Trump admitted I was right. He should be, but he's not. He's a nice guy. He's a humble guy. He's just saying this is good, what's happening, as, you know, it's being revealed that, yeah, we got to restrain Israel. So again, it goes to his character that he's not like coming out to rub this in Trump's face, but he is insisting on what he insisted on in his letter of resignation, that we restrain Israel for the sake of world peace. Let's go to clip number 48 here. This is Joe Kent, former National Counterterrorism Center lead who resigned in opposition to the Iran war, saying that the one way to get peace in the region and the world is for America to use our incredible power and influence to restrain the murderous, genocidal state of Israel. My words, not his. Here's his words.
Tell me about the day that Trump launched the war, started bombing Iran. Now, what was your first reaction? What were people in the administration? Now, I spoke to people pretty close to the president, and some people that have known him for a long time, they were surprised. It caught them by surprise. Were you in that boat as well, and people around you?
You know, I kind of had the feeling, considering the amount of forces that we were moving to the region, that it was definitely possible. I was surprised, though. In terms of the debates that happened in between Midnight Hammer and this iteration of war, it was a very small circle of people that was in the president's inner circle as far as the decision that was made. Leading up to the 12-day war and Midnight Hammer, there was a robust National Security Council process, deputies committees, lots of debates. So I think most of us actually were surprised that the president decided to go in so aggressively. There was no imminent threat. And that's why, you know, you had Secretary Rubio come out and say, well, the imminent threat was the Israelis that were going to attack. And then Iran would respond by attacking us. So, I mean, there was no imminent threat brewing. We knew the negotiations were ongoing. So I was frankly surprised. I hoped that President Trump was just going to do something similar to Midnight Hammer. He was going to hammer a couple key locations and then say, okay, let's get back to the negotiating table. But when we went right immediately for that decapitation strike against the Supreme Leader and a lot of the other members of his inner circle, that's when we all basically knew that the Iranians were not going to just take this lying down, because they viewed this, they understood that this was the effort to change out the regime, unlike the 12-day war, unlike Midnight Hammer. And then came the barrages back against our troops. We took losses initially. So I could see us getting sucked into this, another Middle Eastern quagmire, except for this time with global ramifications, just because of the size and scope of Iran.
Yeah, I remember the early reports that Iran, even Trump said it. Trump is so open when he speaks. Like I think the Pope, the post about the Pope kind of says it all. But he speaks his mind. Do you remember when Trump said he's not going to reveal who he's negotiating with because he doesn't want them killed? What a crazy admission to make. What a crazy admission. But it does, before going back to the beginning of the war, do you agree with me that it's starting to look like Trump is cracking the whip on Netanyahu? I actually made a post yesterday. I was getting a lot of love and a lot of hate. But I said, every day that passes, it's starting to look like Trump is the one that controls Netanyahu and not the other way around. And obviously, it's an oversimplification of a way to get engagement. But the point behind it is that there's been a lot of people, me included, that I've been more surprised than people like yourself of how much influence Israel has over Trump. I never expected this war, despite the buildup. But as this war progresses and seeing some of the actions that Trump is taking, especially in the last 2 weeks, it does seem that the tide is shifting, not just in members of Congress and you know, mayors and all that on a lower level, but on a higher level, including the president.
I hope so. I truly do. I agree with you. It does seem more and more like President Trump is trying to reassert his role. And I think if anybody can get Bibi under control, it's Donald Trump. I don't think there's anyone else who can. I mean, Bibi has been a political force in Israel now for decades. And so it's going to take someone with President Trump's personality and strength to actually get Bibi under control. And but the thing is, we've got to follow through. We have to look at the patterns, at least of the past year. If we don't take away things from the Israelis, if we don't stop enabling them, they will say, yes, yes, we agree. We're your strong partner. They'll say all the right things, and then they'll take an action. Like you pointed out, Trump said, hey, I can't say who I'm negotiating with because then they'll get killed by the Israelis. It's and then crazy. On three separate occasions so far, we've seen them do just that. So that's why I say, look, step one to all of this is he's got to restrict them, not just, you know, strongly worded posts and not just phone calls. That all has to happen too. But we've got to just say, look, you guys, we don't trust you anymore. We trust what we verify, and we have verified, and we can't trust you anymore. So we're going to take away.
And of course, the problem with doing any of that is that Trump is surrounded not just by Israeli first sycophants, but people like genuinely loyal to Israel, not just in his own cabinet, but in the Congress and Senate as well. So, you know, this is really the seriousness of our situation, is that we have a condition in this country that if the American president wanted to go against Israel, I don't know if he could. I've said this before. If Trump wanted to, you know, if his solution was, hey, Bibi's really caused me trouble, I'll just invite him to D.C. and arrest him on the ICC warrant, which we should because we're a part of the ICC, and at least we were before we quit because they convicted Benjamin Netanyahu. The point is, if Trump ordered Bibi Netanyahu arrested, do you think the order would be carried out? Or do you think the people that would carry out the order are more loyal to Netanyahu than they are to Trump? And that really is the situation that we're in. When you think about it that way, it is obvious we're under foreign occupation, and we do need drastic measures to correct that. More on the other side.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.